This is a replay of the Thursday night, October 30th, WGN show. We started right after the game around 10:30. If you don't hear yourself on it, well, it's because you didn't call. And I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday, evenings analyst Sports Preempt Us. That's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
Raleigh James, we got a couple hours to spend together, and I hope you'll join me. 888-876-5593. That's 8888 Raleigh. If it's on your mind, I'll make sure it's on mine. Of course, Halloween's on everybody's mind right now, and tomorrow's the day, and hopefully your contest ready, or costume ready, I should say, and all of that. Maybe you've bought all the candy you could possibly consume. And maybe you've bought it so that you will consume it. But with all the lists of what people prefer, and, you know, as far as I'm concerned, it's the best diet aid ever. You know, I just think about candy corn and I don't want to eat. Of course, those are fighting words because a certain percentage of Americans consider it the best ever. So, for everybody, there's something, I suppose. But Engineer Bob sent me 9 nutritious, non-perishable foods to stock for emergencies. So I figured that's the antithesis to Halloween candy, I would hope. And looking through this, I had to laugh because years ago, you'll remember the Y2K crisis, where everybody thought that every computer in the world was going to lock up on, the stroke of midnight 2000 because most of the programs were only allocating 4 digits for the year, and 1999 was not going to turn into 2 digits for the year. 99 was not going to turn into 2000. So they thought. And there was a couple of years of ramp up to how bad this was going to be. And I'll tell you, Art Bell bought into this hook, line, and sinker. He was convinced life as we knew it was going to be over, which made Coast to Coast fun to listen to. Of course, virtually nothing happened, but a lot of money was spent. And part of that was advertising, commercial advertising. And I was in Philadelphia at the time and known for being on the lunatic fringe and never meeting a conspiracy that I wouldn't at least partly engage in discussing. So it was that I got the buy for the emergency food. And of course, before they would buy it, they wanted me to try it. Oh, my dear God. Yeah, that's about all I can say. Yeah, I never knew there were that many ways to form gas in the human body. Yeah, this stuff was every last one of them. No matter what the flavor, what the consistency, the end product was, it was gaseous. Now, with that in mind, I was looking at Bob's list of 9 perishable foods, and I had to laugh because some of them actually are on my list to the point that we've been in the process of moving one location again, and that there was for a while food, non-perishable food. And canned tuna's high on the list. I'm feeling kind of bad. I threw mine out. It doesn't say exactly how long they'll last. I figured 15 years probably wasn't the magic number, but apparently it can. It can keep for quite some time. Canned tuna. Dried fruit. Now, I wouldn't want to try this for 15 years, but clearly it's going to outlast fresh fruit, to say the least, and doesn't require refrigeration, and will last pretty much for years. Protein bars, high on the list, and I know that to be a fact because years ago, there was a protein bar I liked. I know it's hard to believe that that would even be possible, but there was. It was made by Quaker, and what I liked about it was pistachio-based. Now, needless to say, the rest of Americans apparently didn't like it because it was pistachio-based, because it left the market. But before it did, I got me at least half a dozen cases of this stuff. I'm still eating it. Yeah, I'd say 12 years later, I probably got, I don't know, 4 packs left maybe, and I'm doling them out ever so slowly, though I realize at some point it's eat or else, but so far that's the case. So they talk about how good they are for you, but more to the point, I'll just tell you they don't mold, which is nice, at least not yet. Peanut butter. Oh, man, peanut butter is iffy as far as I'm concerned. When you read the ingredients and you find out that as far as the good old FDNA, if you want to believe anything they're telling you, they say it's okay to have a few rodent hairs per God knows how many pounds of the stuff. But I don't know. But unopened commercial peanut butter, it says can last 9 months at room temperature. What, are they kidding me? Unopened peanut butter, I've gotten years out of that stuff. Yeah, maybe that explains a lot. Once you open it, you've got to eat it within 3 months, they say. And they also say it's best to avoid natural peanut butter. Well, that's the only kind I would eat because it doesn't contain stabilizers and needs to be refrigerated. And, well, that's actually partially true. And so there you have it, bottled water. All right, again, I'm all for bottled water, but this isn't indefinite. Yeah, they don't tell you how long it'll last, but I'll tell you, not forever, because most of the bottled water that you buy is going to be bottled in plastic, and I don't care what they guarantee you isn't in this plastic. Years is not the metric. And they have trail mix. Yeah, you're getting onto some of these where you say to yourself, I might have it. Maybe it's a way to induce me not to eat anything. Perhaps that's the case for rice and beans. I think we're getting back to the gaseous combinations. But nonetheless, can last for a long time. And not only that, they actually package them as rations where it can last virtually forever. They mention energy drinks. I have no experience whatsoever with this. But then I got to the part where it said pet food. And I thought, there is no way. I am not eating the pet food. Yeah, I accidentally once had some pet treat, thing that was shaped like a dog bone. That should have been my first hint that I was not eating a cracker. But nonetheless, that's as close as I've gotten. And fortunately, the article doesn't suggest you eat it. Well, thank God for something. Yeah, exactly. But they say if you have a pet, don't forget about your pet. And yes, embarrassingly, what they feed to animals or what they sell in the name of animal food is somewhat horrifying. They say dry food can last up to a year and a half if properly sealed. Well, yeah, the dog may not want to eat it, but there you have it. So there you go. I don't expect another Y2K emergency. So lately, if you've been looking online, they're talking about something that is coming from the sun that's going to get us and change the scope of... Firstly, it's on the wrong side of the sun for us, or maybe we should say the right side of the sun. Unlikely to change life as we know it, but that doesn't stop or create any shortage of videos on YouTube to that effect. All right, so that's it, but it is Halloween tomorrow. And if you've got Halloween stories, I'd love to hear from them. Ghost stories, perhaps. Yeah, I wish we could have Marianne on, but she's just not making public appearances right now. But perhaps there's been a ghost in your past. All right, or at very least, the oddest costumes ever. I was talking a little about this last night, and I saw the list of costumes, and the problem is, I don't know if they're good or bad, because I don't know what they're supposed to represent. The only one that made sense to me was Superman, and that's a perennial fave. So... we got a lot of people to talk to. We've got Cindy, we've got Ruth, we've got Jim in Richmond, and we've got you too. And your requests all coming up on WGN Radio.
The first time ever I saw your face,
Technology and Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's Roberta Flack, an alternate take, as you can hear. But it's Linda from Richmond Park wanted to hear "The First Time Ever I Saw Your Face." That was downright soporific. Interestingly enough, it's a folk song originally, and everybody did it, including the Kingston Trio and the Highwaymen and the Chad Mitchell Trio and Peter, Paul, and Mary and Gordon Lightfoot and several others as well, Marianne Faithfull and Nancy Ames and you name it. There are many, many. But what's interesting is it wasn't until, the Smothers Brothers, too. In fact, I have that on a reel-to-reel tape, the Smothers Brothers playing it straight. Yeah, but it wasn't until 1969 when Roberta Flack did it that it became a hit song. Never been one of my favorites. However, yeah, any version. However, I really can't fault it. There are over 340 known recorded versions of this song by everybody from Vicky Carr to the Temptations. So, and of course Shirley Bassey and everybody else. So, there you have it. And Linda also wanted to hear something from Boogaloo and the Gallant Crew. And very often we play Clothesline or Cops and Robbers, but we've got something else tonight. So hopefully she'll like it. All right. So 888-876-5593-8888 Raleigh. Jim is in Richmond with another insurance story. All right, what's going on, Jim?
Thank you for taking my call.
Always.
I got really frustrated today. I called the number of the anesthesiologist that they gave me, and they said, "Hello, we answer all your requests by voicemail. please leave a voicemail with your date of birth, your phone number, and what you request, and then we'll get back to you in a day or two."
Now, by the way, let me interrupt you right there and say what's shocking about that is normally when you call any recorded line, like a bank or something like that, the first thing they tell you is do not leave sensitive information on the message. And so here is a medical provider encouraging you to leave sensitive information on the message. That's new.
Right. All I said to them is you sent me
a bill.
In other words, it went to collection agency, and I talked to my insurance company, and they said they paid it. And that's all I said to them.
Okay, that's good.
And then I called the insurance company, and afterwards, and I was so angry, and they put me back to the guy that I talked to in June, and I said to him right to his face, "I need to speak to a supervisor."
Okay.
"Oh, can't I help you?" "No, I want to talk to a supervisor."
Right, good.
And then they got to this woman who is the supervisor, and she was incredibly nice.
Good.
And I gave her the dates, and she said, "I don't know what's going on here," because they submitted a bill for $1,156.
Okay.
And I don't remember what dollar amount she says. And we paid that for both of those things. Where did they come up with $563? And I said, "I don't know. Do you have the bill?" They never sent me a bill, I said. Or, in other words, what was sent and what was paid.
Right.
And she goes, "That's ridiculous." So I spent an hour going through all the bills using the magnifier on my phone. I can't find that statement that I owe that money.
They probably never sent one.
Right, but the one that they sent that I owe them $563. So she says, "Don't pay them, don't do anything, and see if you can find that bill, because I agree with you. I think this is a scam."
Yeah.
But after I talked to her and everything, they said that I remember her saying that the bill was $1,156. And they paid 500 and something. I'm wondering, afterwards I talked to her, I'm wondering if they're going after me.
For the other portion.
Right.
Now, let me tell you, they may be entitled to do that. You see, not everybody takes assignment. What that means is many providers, and as I was saying to you when we talked about this previously, anesthesiologists are notorious for this, where they don't take any form of assignment, meaning that they don't agree to the negotiated price. Now, when that is the case, you are obligated to pay the other half.
But I've had this discussion with other bills, and they were telling me that I don't have to pay it.
It depends on whether the provider takes assignment. So it's not a question of one size fits all. Every one of them is different.
Right. And then I looked, and I couldn't find that statement that came because there is an account number on there, and I couldn't find it.
Yeah, well, text threats, I think that's the way you got it, on a text or an email. That's not official anyway. Wait until you get mail. Wait until you get a hard copy of something, and then all the information will be on
send
it.
That.
Well, then you're not obligated.
Right.
So
and
there's
then,
no problem.
My friend is coming over tomorrow, and because I looked everywhere, I actually got a headache trying to read these things in the drawer. And she said, I will call you back tomorrow, and then she told me what time it is. And if you could find that, you know, statement that's saying that, then I could go on from there.
Yeah, well, you may never have gotten a statement. I'm not sure. But the idea that they're never going to send you anything in writing, that's just wrong. If they're really going after you, you will get something in writing. And when you do, the first thing you can say is that you dispute it. Don't let it go unanswered, because there's a very quirky law about collection. Now, I hope you're aware of this, so don't keep saying right if you're not. All right, the deal with collection is if you don't respond, then the collection is deemed valid. And there are people who will get ridiculous bills, they'll never respond, and then they're on the hook for them. So you must always respond, and you can say, send me documentation proving that I owe this money. That's what you do.
Okay. Because they send me saying click this link, and I will not.
No,
click
you don't have to do anything by email. Ultimately, they're going to have to snail mail you. But again, make sure you don't ignore things, because they can become de facto collectible if you do. And so that could be things that you don't owe, because, you know, very often with debt collectors, they're bottom feeders. And by the time that they've bought the debt, it's gone through six or seven hands. So they'll go ahead and send all sorts of dunning letters, just betting that somebody is not going to dispute it. And when it's not disputed, it becomes official. So if you get anything in writing, you have to respond. But no, you are not obligated to click email links.
Right. And I went through this with another collection agency.
So then you know.
I refused to, you know, to acknowledge it and everything. And then when I went to make my will, because I owed a lot of money, I went and had the lawyer check the title on my house in case they put a lien. And he said my title was clear.
Yeah. All right. Well, good.
They gave up.
Well, sometimes they will, but by ignoring it, you sometimes put yourself in hot water. So let me know what happens, but no, they cannot just email it to you and have it become official.
All right. I'll let you know on Tuesday.
Okay, good. I'll talk to you then. I'm bumped up against the news, so I will talk to you on Tuesday. Thank you. All right, so that's the deal on that. And John's in here waving, saying, shut up. All right, I will. We'll be back to it next hour on WGN Radio.
Fright Fest Felony, plus Prank Panic Probe, and Nursery Crime, Happy Halloween. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News. Judge Noose Nightmare, Halloween Horror in Indiana. A man turned his yard into a grisly gallery, complete with skeletons, smoke, and one prop body dangling by a rope. But here's the chilling catch. That body wore a sign labeled District Judge. Cops and courts didn't call it clever. They called it a threat. Now the so-called decorator is behind bars, learning the hard way that mocking monsters may be free speech, but mocking magistrates with a noose lands you straight in the hoosegow. Halloween hoax horror. Late on a moonlit night in Alexandria, Virginia, police pursued a terrifying three-masked trio who banged on a home's front door, shouting ominous threats and demanding entry. After more than 100 investigation hours, it turned out the so-called intruders were not strangers at all, but the homeowner's own teenage relatives and an adult accomplice filming the stunt. Police chief called it a serious moral failure, and yes, the moral of the story, when a haunted house turns into a home horror show, there's nothing funny about just a joke. Orange is the new Jack, cheater, cheater, pumpkin beater. Some pathetic putz is pilfering pumpkin patches in Ohio. One grower's out of his gourd over the ill-begotten grabbing of 300 of his pumpkins, valued at 6,000 smackaroos. Some jackasses jacked another jack-o'-lantern joint, too. The great pumpkin pillage pulled off in plain sight, gone like a ghost. Must be the season of the filch. And that's what's happening. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News.
say you went to the movie show, but it was a big fat lie. Yes, and if you ask me how I know, I'll tell you why. Because you don't even know what was on the picture you said you saw being gone. Before you blink your eye, you're a big fat lie. Now you say you went straight on home last night, but that's a big fat lie. Because you wasn't nowhere in sight when I come by. You was at that party next door, a turning flip-flops in the middle of the floor. Trying to play like you was high, you a big fat lie. On the slide. Now you want me to sympathize, sitting there rolling your big moon eyes. And if you try to tune up and cry, you're a big fat lie.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Boogaloo and his gal and crew. Yeah, that's Kent Harris, who was so creative. 1955 on Crest, and Linda from Richmond Park wanted to hear more from Kent. And it's interesting because, of course, we all know the word boogaloo today from the dance and all this, but this is about a decade before that that he was using it as his group name, Boogaloo and his gal and crew. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. And the first thing I need to do is apologize to Eduardo because I forget your requests. So let's see. Are you there, Eduardo?
I have requested a couple songs from Earth, Wind, Fire, only because just in case one of them might be long.
Okay.
But I have requested one of them was Evil, and then the other one was Can't Hide Love.
Okay, good deal. I'll get it this time, I promise. All right.
Yeah, I was going to talk about Haskell Free Library.
Oh,
it's in the book.
Yeah, it's in the news.
You know about it.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, John's from Vermont. And so
there you go.
I always laugh because when we're in northern Vermont, like let's say you're on a canoe or something and you're in Lake Memphremagog, there's actually a sign with an arrow that says report to customs this way. I mean, that's the whole border protection. And we always laughed at that. And so this library is unique in that the country line runs through the middle of it. And so you can enter from Canada or Mexico, or Canada or the U.S. And I guess it's made the news because they've got a big GoFundMe thing going on now. They've raised about $250,000 because apparently as they try to better monitor the border, this sort of kind of throws some real water on what they do.
Yeah, and with the new administration, I guess they did a clampdown on access.
You know, there's a lot of reasons that any country, I don't care who you are, would want to make sure that its borders are secure. But in the case of our border with Canada, it's frankly never been secure. Like you say, the idea of, report over here, you know, that's not much of a deterrent. And that's not the only place you can walk across. So it does show a change. But the other side of that is, I don't think there is a nation that survived that wasn't able to protect its own borders.
Yeah, I guess as a joke you can say, hey, how about having the border station inside the library?
Right. Well, you know, as far as that goes, they're going to have to do something about this because there's literally thousands of miles that are unprotected.
Yeah, so I guess they had them like come in through the back.
Well, if you're in Quebec, if you're in Stansted, you come in one way, and if you're in Derby Line, you come in another. You see, that's okay. That's the deal. But once you're in, you can basically straddle the line. They have it painted. There's a big black line, and you can actually put one foot in Canada and another foot in the U.S. at the same time.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. I mean, it'd be neat to visit. I like visiting places like that.
Well, why not?
That I kind of like on the...
Why not? And it's up there to say the least. And Derby Line, I guess if you're doing it, you'd be in Newport and then you'd go over to Derby, and then from Derby you'd drive up 91 a little bit to Derby Line, and then Stansted is on the other side. So it's truly the middle of nowhere. But what isn't?
Yeah.
You know, when you're talking Vermont.
Well, I love bridges, and I don't know about Bridge over here, but I definitely love bridges, and that'd be neat. You know, and you're walking, hey, I'm going to go get a cup of coffee crossing the bridge, or eat something at a restaurant. I'm just going to cross the bridge, and I'm in a different country.
Right. So, Derby Line's not far from Lake Memphremagog as far as that goes, but it's far from the only situation like that. So, from what I can see, they've raised the money. So they'll keep doing it,
okay.
I guess. But now what that'll mean, I don't know. There's a theater in it as well and all that. But the big thing is, you know, the border runs through the middle of it, and people get a kick out of that.
Yeah, and that's pretty neat.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm doing the, I did this today, but I'm doing tomorrow too, the, remember I told you you pretend to be a patient for the medical students?
Yes, exactly. So
yeah.
You're going to be a patient now. Do you know what's wrong with you yet?
Well, I'm doing a thing where I have chest pains, and they get 26 minutes. And I got to say, some of the students that did it today, I mean, they did a pretty good job finishing in time. I mean, they pretty much got to do like 10 minutes with asking the questions before they go put on the gloves and start doing, you know, start touching you and checking you all over the body and all that.
So, okay, 26 minutes of questions. So you walk in, say, hey, I've got chest pain. What do they ask you?
Yeah, so they talk to you about, actually got the sheet right here. I mean, they ask you for your history,
Now, by the way, did they give you a history to tell them?
Oh, sure. Like you're married. You took your appendix when you were 7 years old. Stuff like that.
All right. Well, when did you first start having these chest pains?
According to the script, 2 months ago. Yeah.
2 months ago, really? Now, have you had any other symptoms? Are you falling over? You know, panting like a Saint Bernard? Anything like that? What's going on?
No. So, I mean, you're supposed to say, well, you have a burning through the middle of your chest.
Oh. Almost like an acid reflux?
Yeah, like 10, 20 minutes. It comes and goes.
Okay.
It's severe, subsidized, and disappears.
Uh-huh.
Let's see here. Past surgical history. I told you about appendix and all that. You talked some about being married and all that. And then they go into, so they check your vitals, they do a heart exam, lung exam, abdominal exam, general physical exam. So all this gets done in 26 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
so we're going to be doing more tomorrow.
I love it. I assume what they've done with the script is they've given you classic symptoms of something. And the medical students have to take that and intuit what that might be with. Because, you know, I mean, they can palpate any part of your body you want, but you're not having a heart attack, obviously. You know, it's not actual. So that's
great.
So
I'm able to see, on according to my little cheat sheet here, on the left side of the column is what they would say.
Yeah.
And on the right-hand column is what I would say.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I assume they don't get the cheat sheets. You do because you're playing the role, but they have to intuit what's going on, I would assume.
I'm sure they get something, well, they know what questions they ask because they know what we're supposed to be answering. I don't know if they get this exact same sheet.
Think they do because it wouldn't be much of an exercise.
Yeah, but I'm sure they get the at least the left hand side.
They know what you're complaining of, and of course, whoever wrote it knows that those are the symptoms of certain things. So, yeah. Well, that's is it associated with any medical school in particular?
Well, it's that Nova one in Clearwater. Remember I brought that up?
Right. It's a division of Nova.
NSU, yeah.
All right. Well, fun. How much are they paying you?
Well, it's $25 an hour.
Okay.
You know, most of the people that were there, I mean, they're pretty, I guess you consider them retirees.
Sure.
They provide lunch. So
that's great.
I mean, today I was there from 10 to 4. Tomorrow I'll be there from 9 to 3, something like that.
I think it's great. I think it's a great gig.
Yeah, it's a nice side hustle.
Yeah, why not? Absolutely. And nothing bad can happen to you. It's not like you decide to do pharmaceutical testing. And I have had friends who literally have made a living with that. And I love it when they'll say things like, wow, I'm getting $10,000 from this. And I'm saying, yes, do you realize if they're paying you that kind of money, what risk you're taking? You know, they're, oh, no, nothing will happen to me. Oh, it might.
Really the only thing that goes on you would be the blood pressure.
Right. Nothing can happen to you with this. This is
other than that, they're just touching you on the different, but they put their gloves on.
Yeah, no, they're palpating the basic parts. I get that.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Well, good. I think it's a fun
pretty
gig.
Neat. Yeah. I'll tell you more as the,
as
the months go, you know, as I do more of these studies.
Yeah. Now, are they ongoing studies? Like, will you be able to do this part-time for a prolonged period of time?
Yeah. I mean, they got their series of dates. So, like, this week what they did is they did, like, a Zoom.
Okay.
So, the manager would go over the how you should answer.
Okay.
You know.
Right.
So, they kind of, like, do a little mini coaching
sure.
on Zoom, how you should be answer that.
Right.
And then, obviously, like today and tomorrow, that's when you go into the rooms and you pretend. Yeah.
Well, so here it's your acting debut.
Yeah, if I really get good at this, maybe I could try acting.
Yeah, right. Why not?
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's hilarious. Well, this is great.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Well, all right. I'm going to let you go. Have a good weekend.
Thank you.
We'll talk next week.
All right. Look forward to it.
Enjoy the show.
All right. Okay. What a neat gig all the way right. I think that's a lot of fun. So when I was a kid for a while, I was a body for a massage school, but there was nothing thrilling about that except I got free massages. But yeah, that sounds like fun. So 880, well, I guess that would depend on the condition and exactly how much they're probing, but never you mind that. 888-876-5593. Let me say goodbye to Eduardo here with my magic twanger. And there's a line available now for you. 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio. La, 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 la. La, 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 la. La, 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 la.
La 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 la.
La plume de ma tante, et c'est le bureau de mon oncle.
Bureau de mon oncle.
La papier de mon oncle, et c'est le bureau de ma tante.
Bureau de ma tante.
Which means the pen of my aunt is on the bureau of my uncle.
Bureau of my uncle. Bureau of my aunt.
If you don't parler au français, then this will be great to you. If you can't figure out what the words are all about, just sing la 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 loo. La 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 plume de ma tante, et c'est le bureau de mon oncle.
Bureau de mon oncle.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and I forget who requested it, but someone did. Hugo and Luigi, 1959 on RCA, and they were an interesting duo. They were cousins, and they had an office in the Brill Building, and they were responsible for a lot of really good stuff. that notwithstanding, you know, like Another Saturday Night for Sam Cooke and other Sam Cookes as well. They produced The Lion Sleeps Tonight by the Tolkiens, Shout by the Isley Brothers, you name it. And then there were things like I Will Follow Him by Little Peggy March, but we don't need to mention that. But they were for a time co-owners of Roulette with Moish Leiby, and that's quite the story there too, and more. But they also did a series of beautiful music albums that were The Cascading Strings and Cascading Voices, but that was one they had done with kids, obviously, the Children's Chorus, and that's the deal. So, yes, I don't remember who wanted me to do that, but I have. All right, yes, I've taken your request very seriously, as you can hear. So, all right, Linda is in Richton Park. All right, Linda, welcome back to WGN Radio.
How are you tonight?
All right, so you heard your request, yes?
Oh, I enjoyed my request. I had heard the one that you played about That's a Big Fat Lie.
Yeah.
It makes me laugh. Yeah, I had heard that before, yeah. Too.
Well, good.
I like a lot of these songs they make, you know. It cheers me up, you know. I don't want to be depressed anyway, form or fashion. But it was three things I want to talk to you about. I don't want to elaborate real long, but I talked with my girlfriend. She's losing her sight, and she has this disease. It's called Leber. I guess that's how you spell it.
Leber's? Yeah, Elhan. Leber's. Let me ask you, how old is your girlfriend?
Oh, I feel sorry. She's only 56.
Well, she's still pretty old to get this. Usually, it's hereditary, 100% hereditary.
It's
very rare. I haven't known many people who ever had it. It's like 1 out of 30,000 people. 90% of the people who get it are male, but the onset is usually between 15 and 35. So she's a little on the old side for that. And usually, totally painless, usually your first symptoms is your vision seems blurry for no reason. And it might be one eye, mm-hmm. and then it may be both eyes, and it progresses. Mm-hmm. And you may get the blind spot. All right, hang on a minute. We'll talk about this and more coming up right after the news right here on WGN Radio.
Rid of you at last. Howdy gay times, cloudy great times, you are now a thing of the past. Happy days are here again, the skies above are clear again. Let us sing a song of cheer again. Happy days are here again. All together, shout it now, there's no one here can doubt it now. Let us tell the world about it now. Happy days are here again. Your cares and troubles are gone. There'll be no more from now on. Happy days are here again. The skies above are clear again. Let us sing a song of cheer again. Happy days are here again.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Well, that's the original. That's the first recording. That's Charles King doing Happy Days Are Here Again on Brunswick in 1929. It was from the movie Chasing Rainbows, but interestingly, the song came out about 6 months before the movie. So the movie didn't get to capitalize fully on how big a hit it became, and it was a big hit. It was an MGM movie. A lot of people played, and it was where Jack Benny got his start. That was his first big role as far as that goes. But Chasing Rainbows. And it was Cindy who requested we play Happy Days Are Here Again. And usually people play that schmaltzy Barbara Streisand version, or the one with Barbara Streisand and Judy Garland, or the Glee Club, or on and on. And I thought, well, let's go back to the original. And that's right. A little less painful. Well, to me anyway. So Linda in Richton Park has a buddy who's got Leber's disease. And, you know, it usually will you stabilize. Now, unfortunately, it's after you've lost all a lot of vision. So how long has your friend had it that she knows?
Not long. I don't think she's had it. I think she had it about a year, the way she talked. Now, she haven't had it long because she's working a job. She's all of a sudden, she couldn't read the computer screen. Everything got blurry and everything. And when she went to the doctor, they told her she had some type of a rare disease, and it's not enough people got it in the world for they could study it. And so what she did, she went to out to Palm Springs. She went out there and talked to the doctors, and they told her to take some Omega.
Oh, CoQ10. Usually it's CoQ10.
Yeah, that's what it was, CoQ10.
Yeah.
And she took that for a while. Then they told her to stop taking it. I said, I wonder why would they tell you to stop taking CoQ10?
The FDA approved a form of CoQ10, but it's some synthetic thing that they have approved. But they've had some randomized trials, but there's not, like you say, it's very rare. So there's not a lot. There are some medications that are currently in some kind of trials where they'll be looking, and of course this is long after you and I and your friend are gone, but they'll be looking at doing it from the standpoint of gene therapy, because that's what it is. It's a mutation. That a mitochondrial mutation on the mother's side of the family, that you're born with it. Now, some people have the mutation but never have any symptoms, and that's why I find it interesting that your friend was, you know, 50, over 50 when she started having symptoms, and that she's female, because that's right. kind of rare. But you know, it's just like autoimmune disease. They know nothing about it, so they look at potential risk factors and they're guessing. They might as well you know, be a quiz show, because there's nothing real behind it.
Every day is getting darker. And they told her to take that, what you said, CoQ10 or whatever,
right.
to stop it. But then they told her to stop taking it. So what she did, she checked out some medication in a foreign country, and they told her that she questioned it, and the pills were like $200. I told her, go for it. She said she don't think it's going to happen at all, but she ordered them, so I don't know.
Well, I'll be curious to know. It probably won't, though. There's no evidence that any of these drugs have too much of an effect as far as that goes. And again, it's different person to person. Some people lose their color vision ability. They can't tell colors apart. But usually it's a 6-month trajectory. Within 6 months of the first symptoms, you stabilize to wherever you are. But that can be legally blind as far as that level.
I'm going to ask her, because she haven't had it that long. She's either, I remember her saying she was 52 or she was 56. She's somewhere in between there.
The mutation of the gene, what happens is that the optic nerve deteriorates. And so that's why the vision becomes cloudy. And, you know, they're looking at it, but they're so so far from any real therapy. It's interesting because it's mitochondria, meaning you get all of the mutation from your mother. Only female parents can pass it on, yet 90% of the people who get it are male. So there are probably a lot of people who actually have this mutation who they've never, thank God, developed it. Now, there's a congenital version of it, which develops, you know, right after birth, and that will pretty much be blindness. You will not make it through that. You know, as far as in her 50s, I'm hoping that she'll stabilize while she's still got some decent vision left.
Yeah, I hope so, too. But she's trying hard as she can. Yeah. And I heard a commercial. They say they sell these glasses and everybody can see. And I can't think what they call them. They run it on WGN. They say all of these eyeglasses, they're like magnifying I don't know how many times. And they said they can do everything for you. You know, they'll read for you. You can put them on, you can't see, and you won't be stumbling around and all this. So I looked it up on the computer. My son did. He said the glasses they're talking about cost about $4,000.
Right, it's absolutely. You know, whenever you're looking at the beginning stages of something before all the research and development expenses are out of it, it's tremendously expensive. And worse than that, you might be talking about Be My Eyes, and that's Ray-Ban has come up with Be My Eyes, and it is very successful, but it also is very pricey, and of course it's not perfected yet.
They have a lot of different things. My son looked in the catalog. He said they have glasses over $5,000. Well, I said, I wouldn't pay for glasses if I could see $5,000. But I don't want no glasses that's going to tell me to go left, go right, you know.
Right.
Nothing like that.
Right. Well, then.
I don't know. I wonder if anybody that's listening to your station ever ordered any. It's like.
I don't know. I think, I don't know if Fran or Gary might have tried this. And if anybody has, because there's not only the Ray-Ban, there's also things like Giga has a deal, Echo Vision. And most of this is still in, I won't say a trial, but there's still still in the development stage. You're basically looking at AI smart glasses, and Vision makes some, and there's a number of companies that that make it. You know, how good? I think it varies from person to person. It also is a situation where what's working on one person may not work at all on another.
That's true.
So
I was just wondering, had anybody listening ever can have a testimony, or do I see a speak of anything?
So 888-876-5593. I hope someone will call. But Iris Vision is one, and I think that's about 3,000. And A-Sight is that's the one that's over 5,000, and New Eyes Pro, that's about 6,000. My Eye 2, that's about 3,500. You know, I think that we're still really in an early stage of this. So what you're
and
paying
trial,
for?
You know,
yeah,
I would be willing to risk it if I think I could see the least little bit of anything.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind paying for it.
Well, I'd want to find a way that you could get your money back if it didn't work.
Yeah, that's another thing, too. But that's why I want to hear some testimonials. They don't give testimonials. They got a catalog. My son say they got a whole bunch of stuff in the catalog. Mm-hmm. He said he even got glasses up to $5,000.
Oh, they got them at more than that. Yes, they do.
But I'm wondering, would it help? I would love. I wouldn't care if they were $10,000.
Right.
I would get it.
Right.
If it's going to help me to see.
Well, of course.
I don't have to be stumbling. I fell yesterday. I love this wheelchair. It's just so beautiful. It's so everything. I don't need a wheelchair, but I love sitting in it. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to sit in the wheelchair, and I missed the seat and fell on the floor.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but you know what? I eat up so many vitamins to. My son said, Mama, he said, good thing I was here watching you, having a little meal with you. He said, if you would have been here by yourself, you would have had a time getting up off that floor. I said, I know that's what I'm glad you were here, son.
Yeah.
So he picked me up because my son is big. My son is 6'2". He weighed about 230 pounds.
Okay.
204. He's a big guy.
Yeah.
So he helped me up, and he said, I know you're going to hurry behind us, and I'm going to take a painkiller ahead of time.
Right.
So I won't hurt and say a prayer when I take it, and I did. And you know what? I wasn't hurting at all. I said, I thank God for that.
That's great.
So I don't want to sit on the phone long, but there's one other thing I want to ask you, and this is puzzling me. It's a song. It's so beautiful. It's by Ray Charles.
Okay.
Shaka Khan. And what's this guy? Quincy Jones, I think. I'll be good to you.
Okay.
But how can Ray Charles? I thought Ray Charles died a long time ago.
Oh, in terms of that, well, firstly, I'll be good to you is from 1989. So
okay.
So Ray
Charles. So he was living in 1989.
Yes. 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 But
Quincy Jones, yeah, he was the other person that was in.
Right, right. They all were very much alive as far as that goes. Ray Charles died in 2004, I think. But they do a lot now with people who are not alive. You know, years ago, we're going back decades when they had the Natalie Cole and Nat Cole duet. And, of course, Nat Cole had been dead, I don't know, 40 years by that time.
Uh-huh.
So sure, they can do that. But in the case of Quincy Jones and Ray Charles and Shaka Khan, this was 1989. They all were alive. The album was Back on the Block.
Oh, okay. So they're still all singing together.
Yeah, it was a number one R&B hit. I'll be good
to
you.
I love this song.
All right.
When you get a chance, play it for me.
We'll do it. All right. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. So let's see if we can find that right now on WGN Radio.
Said, I wanna know if what you feel is real, yeah. Cause that's a reason for the things that I say, what I talk about. And oh, I wanna love you, girl, in a special way.
Number one R&B, Quincy Jones, who was very much alive. In fact, he left us a year ago, next month, a year ago in November. Ray Charles, very much alive, has been gone, sadly, since 2004. And Chaka Khan, who is still with us. Yeah, so that was the deal. That was on Q West. That was Quincy's label, distributed through Warner Brothers. So, 888-876-5593. Halloween is coming up, and we have ghost stories. Red in Chicago, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hello.
Tell me your story.
I have two very good ghost stories.
All right.
Probably true. I mean, true stories.
Yeah.
And also a couple of comments on other things. But I'll start with the ghost stories. I knew a guy called Bob, and he was a security guard who worked at both NBC, the NBC headquarters downtown here in Chicago.
Okay.
And he also worked at a home for retired nuns.
Oh man, that's going to be a good story.
I'll tell you that one first. He was there, and he, you know, walked. It was a real nice looking building, by the way, that's now been torn down, but had nice grassy lawns and a nice building they lived in that looked like kind of like a college. Anyway, there was ghost nuns there, he said.
Wow.
These were, you know, the nuns, the ghosts of nuns, they appeared. And he saw them. Some people saw them and others didn't. Most didn't. But he saw these ghosts walking around.
Was he able
dressed
to,
up as...
Could he talk to them?
No. But other nuns, living nuns who heard about this, came up to him and said, did you see Sister Maureen? And did she have any messages?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's what I want to know. Right.
And, but they didn't talk to him, but he said he saw them and they looked pretty real, but not totally real. They were
looked like ghosts.
Weird.
But now, did he see pictures of them when they were alive to kind of compare the ghost and the picture?
I don't think so, no. So he didn't, I don't think he knew who they were.
Yeah.
They were just there. And
You know, that's fascinating because theoretically the ghosts, the earthbound spirits, are those who don't cross over to the other side. They're just here. And usually, you know, you talk about people don't cross maybe because they're afraid they're going to hell, or people don't cross for they don't believe anything, whatever. But you would normally think that a nun was very spiritually grounded and they'd be ready to, you know, go right over to the other side. But what you're saying is, nope, they were in the building. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
So it doesn't work quite the way people think, maybe. So
Not for everybody. I mean, I think we all kind of get the choice. I think some people, if they ignore the white light when they die, they kind of get lost. They don't realize that they can go to any funeral because the white light is universal, and you can cross that way. But for people, some people are just absolutely stuck.
Yeah, well, whatever the reason it is, yeah. I don't know. But
nuns, I love that. I'd never heard that. That gives me so much to think about.
All right. Now, when he worked at NBC, the merchandise
mart, probably.
No. It's a different building.
Okay.
It's a pretty new building. It has.
The one they moved to in 89, an NBC tower.
Probably that's what it is.
It's on Columbus Drive.
Yeah, that's
okay.
It.
Yeah, yeah. They moved there in 89. Okay.
Okay, and he had the it's about 20 stories high or 30, but he and they're on the NBC just has, I think he said they only have two floors of
right.
it, like the fourth floor and the fifth floor, something like that.
Yeah.
And they have like studios and like Jenny Jones, you would show, have her film, you know, and Jerry Springer was there. They had these studios that would film some of this stuff.
That's
and
great.
He got to sneak around and cause he's kind of a show business fan and he got to look, you know, he saw interesting stuff going on, like they're boozing up the people at Jerry Springer's show.
I think you probably encourage them to drink. You kind of have to be drunk to want to be on that show.
Right. And so he says that in the bathroom of one of those floors, the men's bathroom, there's some kind of ghostly activity taking place. And one of his colleagues, like at 2 or 3 in the morning, went into the bathroom once.
Hang on a minute. Don't go away. I think I'm running. Stay till after the news. I want to hear every word of this. Stay right where you are, and we'll pick it up on WGN Radio.
Gee whiz, I can't believe that you love me. I can't believe that an angel like you could fall in love with me so tenderly. Gee whiz, why do I thrill when you kiss me? My heart stands still when I'm holding your hand. The feeling is oh, so grand. Oh, so grand. How do you talk to an angel? What words should I say?
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and yes, Jim was kind enough to say, well, play your favorite record. And actually, I think my all-time favorite record is Bertha Tillman, Oh My Angel. Yeah, that's number one. But, you know, after a while, you don't want to hear it all the time. And so what happens is I sort of rotate various favorites. And for quite some time now, Bob and Earl Gee Whiz has been high on my list. And if you're saying, oh yeah, I know Bob and Earl, Harlem Shuffle. Well, originally it was Bobby Byrd, who of course was Bobby Day, you know, Rockin' Robin and all that, and Earl Nelson. And they both were members of the Hollywood Flames, and they had Buzz, 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 and all. You probably know that. So they worked together as Bob and Earl, and not much success and not many releases. And that's how Bob started his solo career. But the other Bob and Earl, which had Harlem Shuffle, wasn't the same Bob as far as that is. Earl Nelson, the same Earl, I should say, Earl Nelson was Bob Reif. In any event, just a great song. It was on Class, which was Leon Renee's label, who I can't say enough good things about. So that's, there you go, Bob and Earl, gee whiz. And it was a flip side in 1958. All right, so we're talking with Red in Chicago, Ghost Stories. Yes, none ghosts? You would have thought that they would have been on the other side. And now we got to NBC. That's right, the 1989 version. And this interesting building, by the way, in addition to NBC, there's a ton of foreign consulates in that building, but I assume no foreign ghosts were seen.
No, not so far as I know. Now, this incident that Bob told me about, he didn't actually experience it, but he said he had creepy feelings in the building. He kind of sensed something strange in the building, in this bathroom, I think.
Yeah.
Now, in this bathroom on the men's floor, in the men's room, and he told me the floor, but I forget whether it's floor three or four, whatever.
It's in that annex, that NBC annex there. I know exactly. Go on.
Yeah. So this other guard went into the bathroom use it like at 2 or 3 in the morning, whatever, and he heard the place was empty,
right?
So far as he knew, it was totally empty, but he heard this strange noise that sounded like a newspaper being someone turning the pages on a newspaper,
okay,
something like that. So he looked in all the stalls, and in one of the stalls there was a newspaper lying on the floor, right in front of the, the toilet.
Right, right.
And it was sitting there, and he didn't see the pages move, but, you know, that's when he kind of thought some ghost was in there and was reading the newspaper and turning the pages.
That's hilarious.
Did
he take a look at the newspaper to see what pages were being read or what it was about?
No, except it was open. It was the newspaper, and it was. I think he told me that. You know, there's two newspapers in this city.
Sure, absolutely. Sun Times, of course.
And Trib. So it's one or the other, I suppose. He did tell me, but I forget.
Wow.
But, here's something else. Now, a couple of weeks ago, in one of your shows, you started to refer to a disappearing Eskimo village in Canada. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And I think you never got around to mentioning, to talking about it.
I'm sure I didn't. Yeah, that's usually the way, isn't it?
And I've heard this story for 40 years at least. It goes back to the 30s.
Yeah, it vanished in 1930. It's in Nunavut. Of course, in 1930, there was no such thing as Nunavut, but that's what the province is now. And it's like Lake Angakoni or something. And the villagers vanished instantly. They left their homes. They left their food. They left their tools. They just instantly. The sled dogs starved to death. The graves were disturbed. No one was ever found. And the mounted police launched an investigation. So nobody knows.
Well, that's the story. But is the story really true? And I've been interested in this for, you know, decades, wondered about it. And recently I saw on YouTube, they had like a half-hour show, some guy, you know, posted this thing, and he seems to have did a good job of demolishing the story and making it look like it's a hoax. I think he's probably right that this all stemmed from a kind of a
Wasn't this the reporter in the Manitoba newspaper?
It started, yeah, in that area, Manitoba.
Right.
The village was right on Hudson Bay, or right close to it, on a lake or something.
Oh, yeah, it's up there all right.
But the guy, it looks like, if he's telling the truth, if this debunker is telling the truth, this was a hoax that was started by a kind of a failed journalist who was like a drunk.
Yeah.
And he had jobs on little crummy little newspapers of little towns, like a 1,000 people town, in the middle of nowhere, real hick
Places like the Pass. This is in Manitoba,
yeah.
And this is absolutely no. Yeah, this is the guy, right? And supposedly it's the story of the fur trapper. It was Joe LaBelle was the fur trapper who supposedly happened on this village.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then later there have been embellishments of it. Like,
there would
later,
have to be, like, don't you know?
Like,
I mean, what
blue
good is
light?
Right.
Blue lights in the sky that could be seen from miles away, and well. You know, maybe it'll happen, but I'm very skeptical.
Well, so am I, because it was in a Whitley Strieber book. So right there, the credibility goes downhill. But but yes, Whitley talked about it, and and then there were other people who wrote books on this. So no, I never thought it was true. So the Mounted Police got all sorts of questioning about it, and they looked into it, and nobody ever found any foundation for it as far as that goes.
Yeah. Now, here's something else I've been interested in since I was a kid, since I first heard of this many, many years ago. There was a story that of a true case of a locked room mystery. You know what I'm talking about? Locked room mysteries. Standard thing.
Yeah, well, it's a genre in crime fiction and things like that. Yes, of course. There's a lot of them. I mean, crime writers love this stuff. Edgar Allan Poe, of course. John Dixon Carr. On and on.
Yeah,
you get a lot. So yes, it's the quintessential impossible crime.
And there's. My point out of the whole, there's apparently a real life case of this in 1929 in Manhattan of a man, the murder of a man called Isidore Fink.
Yeah.
And this is a famous case, and apparently this is a real case. This really happened.
Oh, this was the guy who ran the laundry in Harlem.
Yes. And how. Well, okay, you know the story then. I was going to mention, this is a really good story.
It's a wonderful story. You know, is it true?
I think it probably is true, because from what I've read, I just recently researched this a little bit, and it looks like it's a true story.
And it's never been solved.
Apparently, no, this is something, a story you could tell, this is a story for you if you want to use this sometime .
This is a great late lights out story. Yes. Three gunshot wounds, two to the chest, and I don't remember the other ones, like his arm or something. But,
and one of those shots was close to his hand.
All right, okay.
And his body was found far away from the door, and the door had a transom in it.
Absolutely locked. But when the wound to the wrist, they saw gunpowder.
Yeah.
So that made people think it was close range.
Yeah. And so how could he have been shot from the transom, which is what one of the theories, when, he wasn't close to the transom. He was way, like 30 feet away or something. And, that's I've always been intrigued by this. It's a weird story.
It is a weird story. And sadly, no one bothered, I guess, at the time to really continue to work on it to find anything. They didn't find the weapon. The cash register was intact, and the only fingerprints were Fink's, and there were no secret passages, and the transom window, no human could have gotten through it. And so they say it's an insoluble mystery.
Yeah, and apparently the police, I mean, they really stuck at the case. They tore the place apart almost, looking for some kind of hidden doorway or, you know, way to get in or out. And they couldn't find anything. And these, you know, these aren't dumb hick cops in some, you know, tiny little town. This was the New York Police Department.
Now, Isidore was an immigrant. You know, he came from Poland, I think, after World War One. And so he after working a lot, he got enough money to start his own laundry. And so there he was renting the, I think it was like on 123rd Street, 125th Street, around there. And, you know, the area was rampant with crime then. So that part was well known. And they, you know, all the reports I saw, you know, he kept his door locked. He was very mindful because he knew it was a criminal area and all that. And, you know, it was a deal after delivering the laundry. He returned home. His home was attached to the laundry, you know, I guess a bedroom attached to the laundry. Locked all the doors as usual. And then the neighbor around 10:30 heard a sudden scream and a sound of people struggling, but no gunshot. She called the police. So, I love this story. I have no idea. I wish I had thought about it. I would have asked Marianne to channel Isidore here for us if you could find him. But, Now, some people thought that he was shot in the hallway and managed to get, you know, like struggle into his room and lock the door and then die. The medical examiner said, no, it would have been instant death, the shots to the chest. He had no time to run away. Couldn't have happened. You know, there went that theory. And I, you know, some people said, well, it's really a story of the corrupt police. I have no idea.
Yeah. So, and now it's like almost 100 years later. So how are you going to find out what really happened?
Well, you're not. You know? Of course not. And those neighborhoods have changed so significantly over and over and over. At the time, it was Italian Harlem. And it's gone through many incarnations since then. A lot of gentrification lately. I'd love to know.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Listen, I've talked to you maybe 10 times.
Well, do it again.
and I've never had a music request. And I got one. Got one now for you.
That's
kind of, you can take it or leave it. You don't have to play it, but it's a George Gershwin thing of his that was in a movie.
Okay.
First, a Fred Astaire Ginger Rogers movie.
Okay,
and it's called Walking the Dog.
Okay, absolutely. All right.
It's extremely good little tune.
Yeah. No, I mean, I was thinking about it because, of course, there's a completely different Walk of the Dog by Rufus Thomas. Yes, absolutely. I'll get that for you. You got it.
Okay.
All right. Call me again. Thank you, Red.
Okay.
Appreciate
bye.
It.
All
right.
Welcome.
All right. Have fun stuff. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, I asked for ghost stories and I'm getting them. I like that. All right. So we will continue and I'll find Walking the Dog on WGN Radio.
Thank you.
play the original 1937, but I always kind of like this. And there's a Danish orchestra who did that about 15, 20 years ago, and I just thought it was a great version. But on the original one, I think the clarinetist was aiming to sound like a dog in part of it. But it's a fine song all the way around, and absolutely nothing to do with Rufus Thomas walking the dog, to say the least. We'll check out the news and then check out you on WGN Radio. Not sure why, but 1965, it was a real big MOR hit. But in addition, when stations were timing themselves up to news, and they'd use instrumentals, you know, where I said they should all be called, "This Will Take Us Up to News." Well, this was played ad nauseum in 1965, and I never got tired of it. Actually, it was a German record, and an instrumental that Horst Jankowski wrote it. And the original name of it was like Ein Schwarzwaldfahrt. And Mercury called it a walk in the Black Forest. So, yeah, and wisely so, as far as that goes. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888-RALEIGH. So there's a couple I like anyway, and Jim in Richmond wanted to know what it was I like. So there's a few of them, Jim.
I want to start out by saying, can you play three songs that you love that you haven't heard?
That I haven't heard?
Right, that you haven't heard on the radio lately.
If I love them, I've heard them. Oh, in terms of that, I listen to anything I really like, but that's an interesting thing. I will try. I don't know if I'll come up with three, but I'll try to dig something out that I don't play often that I really like.
I would love that.
Okay, I'll do it.
Secondly, can you tell Linda that I love her in worrying about me, and I've lost it.
Well, that's all right. That's perfectly fine. I got the sentiment, and I know she did too.
Right. And in Austin.
Yeah.
And what is it, Karen in Austin, or?
Fran and Gary are in Austin.
Right, and Fran and Gary in Austin. I thank you for taking, you know, interest in me. And I'm totally in their grace.
Well, terrific. All right.
And
we will talk to you next week.
Right, and also, too, is, I don't know. I had a whole thing that I wanted to say, but
well,
I really appreciate with you and all the people that you have that take care of me. I want you to take care of them.
All right. All right, and you're going to make it, I know, and I can't wait to hear about your meeting with the people from Social Services and Medicare.
Right, and then tonight was the last episode of the Gilmore Girls, and I don't need to watch them anymore because that was in retrospective of my mother.
All right.
Well, and good. Thank you for everybody who's concerned about me.
All right.
I love them all.
All right. Thanks, Jim. We'll talk to you soon. All right. So 888-876-5593 would be 8888 Raleigh. And Cindy is in Chicago. All right, Cindy, welcome back to WGN.
First of all, that was the version of Happy Days Are Here Again I wanted you to play.
Oh, good.
I wouldn't even think of any other version. And then the other thing I wanted to say is that song, Walking the Dog.
Yes.
I just was dreaming about my father and imagining him at 17 playing that song on the clarinet.
Okay. That's
great.
That version's not heard that often. And that song was actually, it was in a movie, of course, as you know, but it didn't get much, much play or much recognition. And Gershwin died, I guess, fairly shortly thereafter that. But, Walking the Dog, I played the Sebastian Mann's version.
Okay, and then I saw Dion. I never saw what Dion looked like. I mean, Chuck always played Dion, and I just never. He was on Facebook, and he played some new version that came out of his song Abraham
Martin and John.
Martin,
yes, right.
John.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then anyhow, my cousin. This is a very serious thing for me to have to take on. Because, my cousin wants me to do some day trading for him, and he's a multimillionaire.
All right, well, that should be fun, because if you're a multimillionaire, even if your trades aren't that successful, it won't affect him. It really is true, unless you're trading in mega millions of dollars. It's just fun money.
It's okay, but I rebuked my cousin Lisa, and I kind of mad at her for saying, "Oh, Cindy, do it. It's going to be fun, and who cares? It's not your money." And I thought, I'm an accountant, and I said to her, "That's his hard-earned money, and I don't think day trading is any kind of fun."
Okay.
I'm sorry. But then I said to her, "Well, you have a 401k. You're always crying. You want a job with a 401k. It's hard. It's hard for women, without even with education to get that. I mean, for my age group, for my era. But then anyhow, and I said, you don't want someone to say, oh, it's fun managing your money. And who cares? It's not my money, my money is somebody else's. That's how an accountant would look at it that had some kind of scruple.
Well, you can either do it or not do it. But again, if this is a multimillionaire, there's not a lot riding on it either way for the guy. So if it's not fun to you, don't do it.
Well, I'm not really into fun. I mean, fun to me. I call the talk lines a lot, and if you get a young person, they're like, "Oh, well, that could be fun." And I'm like, "Well, I'm not a 10-year-old child running around the yard with my dog, having a birthday party, having fun." I mean, it just, I don't know.
Well, maybe you should try to find a little fun. It doesn't have to be in day trading, but a little fun doing something you like. Just a thought.
Okay. Yeah, I know. Okay. And then the other thing is I called the librarian that's like the best one they have. She's brilliant.
All right.
And she explained to me about AI Google.
Okay.
I don't know, just how it's, I don't know what word to use for it. I wouldn't say scam.
No, it's not a scam, but I'm not comfortable with it either. But there'll be more and more of it, trust me.
Yeah, and then anyhow, I thought it was the best thing since sliced bread. When I have a lot to talk, you know, just some stuff to talk about. But then anyhow, I thought it was the best thing since sliced bread. And she said, you know, because I looked up, I looked up.
It's not always accurate.
Yeah, she explained that to me.
Yeah.
But I looked up about the Purina, you know, if there were any Purina cat food.
Right, they're culling it from internet stories, obviously. It's still a form of deductive reasoning. It isn't any real artificial intelligence. It is deductive reasoning. But if there's a story out there, usually that will capture it. So I know you're fixated on Purina and cats, but...
Well, that was true, and it was the exact food. Well, I'm just trying to find, you know, my issue is to find out if this is accurate news, you know. But then anyhow, I did get the name of the law firm, the phone number, and they did have a lawsuit for the exact food that my cat was on, but the judge threw it out.
Well, that answers that.
And then, okay, so then I'll Google about Blue Buffalo food, and they had a lawsuit, too, for false advertising for what's in their food. So then I Googled, what kind of food, you know, I don't know how I word, is on the up and up, and they said Iams, and they said there is no lawsuits over the pack of, what's in the food. So, but the only lawsuit they had was class action suit or some kind of lawsuit was about using men for like slave labor on the fishing boat to get you.
You've got far too much time on your hands. Number one. As far as that goes. Number two, AI, again, it's just culling internet stories. You want to check them out yourself either way. But whenever you're talking about a mega successful company, it's going to get a certain amount of negative publicity. It just comes with the whole thing. And anybody can sue anybody for anything. Now, that doesn't mean they'll be successful. But as you know from judges, so you're not going to find anything where you're aware of the company where there isn't some talk of, well, they did this or that or whatever. It's just, it goes with the territory. But it's...
Well, all I'm really interested in my life for many years is more and more information.
Well,
you can
get it, but anything you see that you're getting from a search online, you need to research it yourself. And if you've got that kind of time, go for it.
Well, I don't know if I do. You know, I thought this was, you know, but then anyhow, there's, you know, and then... get the Iams, but then anyhow. And then the other thing, Jim talking about medical, Jim, I got into Lutheran General, and it was just the grace of God because I'm always in a rut, and it's hard for me to make a change. But Resurrection was taken over by private equity. And, you know, that doctor that I had there for many years before that happened, when I would try, I mean, you know, this is the liberated era, and like in my neighborhood, that's not acceptable, to, you know, for some, you know, it's just, I don't know.
My head's
starting
to spin.
Anytime I try to express myself over my concerns over medical with the doctor I had at Resurrection, I was pretty much told, don't bother me, you know.
Wait a minute. You don't even have to continue. When you're discounted, that's it. You say, that's it. I'm making a change. You don't have to put up with
that. Well, now I'm in Lutheran General, and it's a real place.
Well, I'm glad you're happy.
And then the other thing I wanted to tell you about
was... there's something else. What?
The story in Addison, Illinois... about the guy who called the police he said to the police, you've got to find my dogs, and if you don't, I don't know. And he was shooting guns off for 5 hours.
Yeah, he's in custody. He was actually firing the shots at the officers. Yes, that was a news story, and I'm sure you'll hear more about it. All right. Thanks, Cindy. Okay. Appreciate the call. All right. So that's the deal. Yes. All right. No, normally, lost dogs are handed through the non-emergency lines. All right. Well, anyway, it's a long story, but I'm sure if you're in Chicagoland and you've been paying attention to the news, you know a lot more about it than I do. All right. So I believe there is one more thing I have to do before the night is over, and then hopefully I will get to your calls before the night is over right here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. We'll forego the bumper. I'm hoping to get through four people in about 6 minutes, but we'll see. We got a ghost story from Ralph in Rockford. Ralph, how's it going?
Well, thank you. I have to ask you the same question, and I think everybody is happy to welcome you back.
Well, thanks.
Yeah.
So tell me about the ghost.
Well, the ghost is the. It reminded me when this man, this gentleman before me or before us, talked about a man's bathroom.
Yeah.
Okay, I usually don't go to public men's bathrooms because can imagine.
Yeah, for all sorts of reasons. I got that.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure you know what happened to the group member of Wham.
Yeah, well, yes, absolutely. But he was being a naughty boy in a public restroom. Never a good idea. Good old George Michael, always good for copy.
Yeah, I know George Michael, but, I mean, he proposed there.
Well, that's what I mean, yeah. He's not the only one.
No, I know that. That's why I don't go there.
All right.
Right, and so I just wanted to tell you something that a ghost might have written last time when I went to a public men's bathroom, and he put something in the urinals. He said, "Please don't throw your cigarette butts into our urinals. Oh. We don't urinate in your ashtrays either."
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, that was quite a joke. And, I usually like to talk to you because about music. It's just very short now. I was surprised that you played Horst Jankowski.
I love that song.
Yeah, that's a nice song. It's in German. It's a Halloween coincidence that I happen to be an associate professor for German.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah, so if in German it would be, like you almost said, ein Spaziergang im Schwarzwald.
Well, you certainly say it better than me.
well, you are pretty close. I mean, I think you had a German classes in high school.
No, I did as little in high school as a human being could do and still get out of it. So.
Well, I mean, you got out of it very well. You are more educated now than people that graduated from high school and college.
Well, that's not saying much. I was reading that article about University of Connecticut has a student who is a junior, uh-huh. and she is completely illiterate, cannot read a sentence. How did she make it to her junior year in a college? Yeah. I don't know.
Right. Well, I was just quickly now. You got some other calls here. I just wanted to just recommend one movie that has to do with Halloween.
Okay, what is it?
It's in the main role is Sharon Tate. Yeah, Sharon Tate.
Oh, yes.
With her husband from Poland, you know, the man that uh-huh. cannot come back. And it came out in 1969, and it was called The Fearless Vampire Killers, or, pardon me, But Your Teeth Are in My Neck.
Oh, I love that. I love the subtitle. That's wonderful. Thank you for that. Hopefully people will watch it tomorrow night, and hopefully we'll talk to you next week. Thank you. Good to hear from you, Ralph.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Yeah, well, thank you very much.
All right. So good deal. Now, let's see. That's a good tip for movies. All right. Roman Polanski and all. All right. Carl in Riverside, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, real quick. Hey, I think that was Horst Jankowski you were just speaking with, wasn't it?
No, Horst is no longer with us, so unless we can channel him, but it is great to hear from Ralph.
Yeah, well, it kind of sounds like a bratwurst Polish sausage kind of name to me, you know?
Yeah, well.
Anyway, Hey, I'm going to save my question for next week.
Okay.
But well, you guys, 2 weeks ago today, I tried calling, and I'm listening, and you were talking about, I think, blood, sweat, and tears.
I don't know. It wasn't live. I was not here, so yeah. I don't know what they played.
And I'm listening. I'm going, gee, that voice sounds familiar. Well, yes, you were talking to me at the time.
Oh.
Very strange.
Oh, that's great. I love it. Well, that's good. Well, hopefully I'll talk to you again next week.
Yeah, because you know what? I just got done walking the dog in the Black Forest.
All right. So, go for it. Thanks.
Final question.
Yeah.
What? Why don't werewolves like fast food?
Why?
Because they can't catch it.
Talk to you later. Okay, bye. Yeah. Well, there is that. Yes, yes. I've been getting these one-liners all night. John had told me about a writer who consulted a literary agent wanting to know what is the best form of writing for money-making. You know, if you want to make the big bucks, what should you specialize in? Ransom notes. All right, so we've got Ruth and Gurney, maybe. We'll see if Ruth is still awake and if her cell phone lasted. Are you there, Ruth? No, of course not. And that's hopefully she's sleeping well. Can't blame her. So the last minute, actually it's 30 seconds. Chris and Greenwood, are you still with us?
Yes, I'm still with y'all.
I got 30 seconds. They're all yours.
Okay, I can tell you one ghost story. It's a bunch of them, but, you know, we have a lot of ghosts in Greenwood, and one of them is in Abbeville, and Abbeville is a neighboring town, and they have the Belmont Inn and the Abbeville Opera House. They haunt it.
All right. Well, you got to call me next week and tell me all about the hauntings at the Opera House. I'll look forward to it. Thank you, Chris. You've closed the show. And that is it. Tomorrow night's a replay of Monday Night Trivia. And Monday, I think there is a game, and we'll be on in a very abbreviated portion after that for like a half hour or so. So how much trivia it'll be, I don't know, but we'll have a good time talking about something. Until then, that's a wrap. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for calling. That's what makes the show a pleasure to do. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.